This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Oldie But a Goodie. That's right, we're back in a slightly echoey room today because we're not at my place. We usually record at my place down in Sunbury. We're not there at the moment. Where are we, Zach?
We're at my place, my flat, my house, my rules. First, number one rule. Uh-oh. Let's record a rad podcast.
Ooh.
Bam. Number one rule.
That's number one rule.
It's a pretty, like, very specific rule.
It's the same rule as my place.
Doesn't apply well to most other people that come here, but hey, it works.
You try to record a podcast with everyone who comes
to visit. Yeah, every single one. Yeah. It doesn't go as well with a lot of people.
One of your housemates brings a partner over, record podcast!
Yeah, no, they don't like it when I do that.
They don't like it, no.
Anyway.
What's rule number two?
Rule number two is always put the seat down on the toilet after you're done with it.
Oh no, I forgot to do that when I used the toilet before.
Get out. Yeah.
So this podcast is, for the entirety of 2019, we are watching films from the year.
Yeah, the entirety of 2019.
Look, we'll get to that in a sec. We're watching films from 1994 in the order they came out in. This film came out, I think it was like the first week of April.
Yep.
And we're recording at some point in April.
Yeah.
So here's the way.
We're a little behind on the podcast. Unfortunately, life does get in the way of certain things.
But I had comedy festival. We were all ready to do it. We recorded and it crashed and it threw our thing off.
Yep.
And then other unexpected events happened and it slightly delayed it. Like work.
Yeah.
So what's happening this week is we're recording three episodes back to back.
Yeah, bam.
And pretty much releasing them back to back.
Yeah, so good luck, everyone. Yep. We'll see how well we are at the end.
I do also want to shout out Ian Bodkin, who reviewed the podcast on the American iTunes.
Ooh.
Gave us a very lovely review. I don't have it written in front of me, but it was really nice. It was like, I look forward to the podcast every week.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We apologize if it's something every week. But from next Friday onwards, every week for the rest of the year.
Every week. Guaranteed. Definite gonna happen. No complications whatsoever. Woo!
So I chose the film this week. It's called The House of the Spirits.
Yep.
There were two other options.
Yep.
One of them was called Threesome.
Maybe would have been just as friendly as this one.
Look, this is probably the most explicit film we've done so far.
Yeah.
But Threesome sounds bad, so I'm glad.
Yeah, no, Threesome. Yeah. Oof.
The other option was Holy Matrimony, which is a film directed by the guy who played Spock in the original series.
Huh.
It's about this thief who, like, the thief's partner dies, and so her plan to get a large amount of money is to just marry this rich kid.
Right, yeah.
14-year-old
oh,
kid.
Oh, boy.
It's basically a series of unfortunate events.
Right, yeah.
But just a little bit more creepy.
Yeah, but creepy with marrying children. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I'm going to save it for if we ever need to do a film like that.
Yeah, no.
Just keep that one in the vault.
It's weird because all of these three films are sort of weird old films that are a bit creepy in places.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, well.
But let's get into this film. So
let's just jump into it.
Not this again. It's becoming our tagline, but we didn't come up with it, so...
Yeah, no. We could steal our taglines.
Probably copy strike us.
Anyway.
So this film is based off a novel...
Ah!
...of the same name.
Yes.
The novel is written by Isabel Allende.
I was going to say, there's a lot of plot points that don't go anywhere, which probably go somewhere in the books.
Yes. A lot of the criticisms towards this film are that it just kind of misses the point of the book.
Yeah. It's fair.
But, you know. The book, though, very popular. Won Novel of the Year in Chile when it was released in 82. Mm. And it's also been used as a part of the high school curricula all around the world.
Oh, damn.
As a part of, like, writing and stuff like that.
There you go. So really that's cool.
Yeah, it was released April 8th in 94. It's directed by this Danish guy called Billy August. He's popular for doing a couple of episodes of Young Indiana Jones.
Nice.
Have you seen Young Indiana Jones?
Nope. Is it good?
A lot of people don't like it.
That's fair.
Because it's educational.
Oh, no.
But it's pretty good.
Okay, alright.
I quite like it.
I won't judge it till I see it. Doesn't sound too bad.
The first season, when he's very young.
Yeah.
Not great. The second and third seasons, when he's like at war and stuff.
Oh, damn.
Pretty
that sounds good.
Good.
That sounds pretty good.
But it's also trying to teach you stuff.
Yeah. I don't want to learn things. I just want to turn off my brain and die.
I don't think I've ever felt brain dead while watching something before. Except for the latest bloody season of Star Trek Discovery. Am I right? No, it's all right. I like it. It's a good season. It's a mess, but it's all right.
I need to jump back into it.
You need to jump back into it. Jump back into it.
Because I enjoyed most of the first season.
I finished the first season.
The second season's
all right. The problem is it's like a video game. There's an end point, but every episode is just like distractions on the way to getting to that end point.
Yeah. That's the thing.
This is getting annoying. But anyway, it's not bad.
Let's actually talk about the movie.
Yeah, so the cast. I'm going to slightly spoil who the characters are in this.
Go for it.
So that you can follow along and know who plays who, because it's a massive cast. So, you got Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
She plays Clara. She is the mum of the character narrating the film. Psychic mum. She's got supernatural powers. Picture her as a Jean Grey, except... they made a somewhat watchable film about it. Am I right?
Except this is probably about the same.
It's probably about the same as Last Stand.
Also, she's not all powerful. It's just true. Because the problem with characters that are all powerful is that they're all powerful.
True.
It's hard to make a good, compelling story about that.
Anyway. The male lead is Jeremy Irons. Look, he's not the nicest dude.
Not in this film.
Bit of a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a bad person. This whole film. There's like a point where the lady's like, he doesn't do anything out of malice. He's actually not. He's just a hard worker that's run out of work or stuff to do. So he's a fighter, that's it.
Yeah.
He's a fighter who just keeps on fighting.
Yeah.
But he's just not a nice person.
He's not a nice dude. You got Glenn Close. She plays Jeremy Irons' sister. She's sort of important for a little bit of the film. Winona Ryder, of course, Stranger Things most recently. Very great actress who's making a comeback, which is cool to see. She plays the child of Meryl Streep and Jeremy Irons. She's pretty good. She's also in a relationship with Antonio Banderas.
Yes, love that actor boy. Mm. Antonio, my boy. Yeah. I love him in literally everything
he's good
done,
in everything.
Especially Puss in Boots. Love him. The best role he's ever played.
The best role? The film called Puss in Boots.
Oh no, that's complete garbage. I have watched and seen that. Actual trash.
It is pretty bad.
It is a dumpster.
Anyway, they are the main actors. It's a very impressive cast. Mm. It's got 30% on Rotten Tomatoes.
His best role was Spy Kids 2. It's the greatest movie of all time.
Spy Kids 2 is so underrated.
Yeah, no.
What were they thinking?
Yeah. Now, we've got to do a special episode where we watch through all five of the Spider Kids.
Yeah.
Except, I don't want to watch the last one because it was so
3D?
Bad.
Or the more recent one where
the
it's
most
not actually...
recent one
oh, yeah,
it's
no.
not actually that.
No, no, no,
it's
no, no.
so bad.
I
anyway.
Saw 20 minutes of it and went, Yikes. Nope.
I saw all of it.
Why?
And I regretted every second of it.
Sounds
anyway,
awful.
It doesn't just sound awful.
It is awful.
It watches awful. It plays awful. It is awful.
Yeah, so 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, most people were like, it's not a bad film, but it misses the point of like supernatural stuff and that sort of thing. It just sort
of Yeah, I do feel like it misses the point on a lot of things.
But like 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, not bad. Some people enjoyed it. I would even say I enjoyed it. What did you think? Like, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but I felt like it's an old movie, and you can feel that. But it doesn't have, the charm of old films.
No.
It just feels old. And that's what I felt about it. I probably didn't enjoy it as much as I could have. I was just, like, at the time, I was like, I'm not really jiving with this film.
Yeah,
I don't like anyone in this film. I like the spirit lady. She's all right.
Yeah.
The rest I just feel sorry for. I don't know. It just didn't jive with me. Anyway.
It didn't jive with most of the US market.
Woof.
Cost $40 million. What do you think it made?
15.
Not lower.
Oh, that's not good. 7.
Oh, you're so close.
8?
A little lower?
6.
6 million.
Really? Wow. I got close with 7. Wow,
yeah, you got real close. 6 million, that's not even a quarter.
That's a big bomb.
It's a massive
bomb.
That's
a giant bomb.
All right, let's go through the film.
So, it starts off with a nice country scene.
Ooh.
The house in the hills.
Nice.
We have a old man being helped by, as we find out, his daughter.
Yeah, I'll help you.
What is... We don't need sound effects. We can imagine it, Sandro. And they're helping him inside, and they're opening the curtains.
That's the door.
Yeah. What are these curtains? They go... And they could be wooden curtains, I guess, but they're not.
They are wooden curtains. They did stuff differently in the 70s.
No, but they might have had shutters.
Yeah.
I can't remember if they were shutters or curtains.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he's like, oh, I miss your mum.
Yeah.
She was great. And I'm old. Grr.
I'm going to sit down and...
Reminisce. About everything that happens. And we have a doo.
Yep. It goes doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. It flashes back. So that present day part is set in 1973.
Is it?
Okay. Which means that I think the rest of the film, like, this probably starts in, well, what would you say?
1950s? Maybe earlier?
Maybe slightly 1940s, earlier.
1940s? Something like
maybe
that.
Maybe the 40s, yeah. Anyway, it's set in Chile, 1940, flashbacks to when the mum of Winona Ryder, who was the character, helping her dad into the house, flashes back to when her mum originally met her dad.
Yep. So, in this scene, I presume in the books, it's like a situation where she's like 10, 11 years old, and he's like 16, 17.
Yeah.
Which is only like a 5-year difference.
It's not bad.
In the movie, she's like 6, and he's like, because the actor's like an older actor, right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned this in the last movie. You had a problem with like Jim and how old he was. And I was like, nah, it's all right. They never stress the point. They never point this out.
Mm.
And it's like a comedy movie. They can get away with this. This is neither. And the actor is older. And they try and make him look younger. But he still looks like at least 26, 27, something. So there's like a 20-year age difference at the very start.
It definitely looks like that. The age difference gets smaller and smaller as we go along.
Yeah, and as it goes on, there's the effect.
To start off with.
Which is real weird because in the end, she dies before him. With a 20-year age difference.
So it turns out that him, played by Jeremy Irons, of course, was originally engaged to the characters who becomes Meryl Streep, her older sister.
He's there to marry the main lady's older sister.
Yeah. But she's like, oh, when I first saw him, I knew that I would marry him.
Yep.
Even though he was engaged to my sister.
Yeah, that forebodes well, little girl. Don't think about that too hard.
Don't think about it.
Yeah, and then it's shown that she has psychic powers.
She has psychic powers. We're shown by her moving a vase with her mind.
Yeah, woo! Her powers are, like, really weird, because at no point do they explain anything. She just got spiritual powers. That's all they say.
Yeah.
And then she just does stuff.
She does stuff. The people... in the place where they live are like, these powers, I wonder if they can predict the future. So they basically start trying to get advice from this character, Clara.
Yeah, or there's like one guy, it's like, why is my wife upset? And she's like, oh, because you haven't been paying enough attention to her, or you've been doing this thing that she doesn't like. Oh no, and then there's like a lady that's like, why doesn't my husband love me? And she's like, your perfume, lady. You cover yourself in lavender and he hates it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Which was, I felt kind of great. And she was like, oh.
Ah,
all
right.
Yeah.
But then,
yeah,
trouble arises when she predicts that someone in their family is going to die.
Yeah. And she's like, ah, someone's going to die.
Someone's going to die. And quite timely, that evening... They're all sitting around the table. They've all got a glass of brandy.
Mm.
And they toast.
Yeah, the father's like a diplomat or some crap, so he pulls up the glass. He's about to toast for this negotiating thing, but he's like, you know what, daughter? Here, you should toast.
Yeah.
Because you're getting married soon or whatever, you know, or some crap.
Mm.
And so she toasts, she takes a drink, and then she's collapsed.
Yeah.
Completely toasted.
Now, at first I was like, was it poisoned?
Yeah.
Or should you just not give kids brandy?
No, give me kids brandy's fine. So no. Like you say, took one sip and was like, whoa, I'm drunk. Collapse.
I'm drunk, immediately dies.
No, it's poison.
Yeah, it is poison.
Yeah.
Good to know that people in 94 were against kids drinking strong alcohol. Good to know that.
That's not a message they were sending at all. That was saying, don't poison you.
Don't poison it. No. Yeah. So Clara thinks that because she came up with that prediction, that she, not necessarily directly, but she is responsible
for the daughter's death. Yeah, she takes the blame for it. There's also, like, a weird scene where she goes and sees her, like, sister's corpse.
Yeah.
Which is, like, naked on a table. And it's like, whoa, okay.
Mm.
That is a naked and decapitated body as they're, like, searching it up. That's in the movie. I'm like, whoa, okay, that's a weird scene to just have.
You see them open up her stomach and take out stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty full. It's pretty graphic. Anyway, so she's like, you know what? I'm not going to speak ever again.
Never, ever
again.
I'm
going to be mute. Yeah. Bam.
And then just in the nick of time, Jeremy Irons returns home from wherever he was and was like, yo, what up? Where's my wife?
Woo, we're going to get married and oh, she's dead. That's a bummer.
Well, I'm just going to go live with my parents and sister then.
Yeah.
So he does that. We leave Clara's family for about 20 minutes. Focus on this other character, Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
So he's living with his sister, Glenn Close, who's taking care of their mum.
Yeah, taking care of their mum, having to do like everything for her, like even toiletries and stuff. It was a very weird scene. It was like getting a porta potty. I guess that was more common back then. Just like
The bedpan under the bed.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. We don't use that nowadays, but that was probably more of a... thankfully. But yeah, you know, just taking that out and just doing house chores. Sucks to be her. Sister gets kind of shafted this whole movie.
The sister...
although she is
poor
weird.
Character. It's a little creepy.
Yeah, not a little, very creepy.
We'll get to that.
Anyway.
So he's like, nah, not enjoying this. I've got money, and he buys a farm.
Yep.
He shows up, you look around, land's great. The locations in this film are really beautiful.
Yeah, it's cool.
But there is a moment where he finds the farm that he bought.
Yep.
And he opens the door, except instead of opening, he touches it, and the door falls down and splits in two.
Yeah. It's the classic, like, this is a rundown sort of place.
But, like, way over the top.
Yeah.
Why does the door have to split? Have you ever, like, been to a place where a door would just split in two by itself?
No, I haven't, because I haven't gone to a rundown enough place.
Doors don't perfectly split in two.
Yeah, no. But, like, it's a classic movie trope, so.
Yeah. I take issue with this one, though.
I'm fine with it. I don't care about this door. Look,
this
I know
door,
you're
like,
a very door fanatic.
I'm a door fanatic. I love my doors.
I don't care. Look, the door had it coming. Mm.
Wow. Wow. Really?
Look, that's just my opinion, all right? Door had it coming. Door deserved it.
Oh, that poor door.
So he talks with the locals and he's like, well, I own this place now, so can you work for me?
Yeah.
And all that. And so
like,
they start a farm up. There's a bit of a dark scene where he assaults a lady, which comes back a lot in the film because it causes a pregnancy.
Yes.
But it's very dark. That's not really, like, the wife knows about it.
Because she's psychic.
But, like, she still loves him and thinks he's a good man. He's not really shown at all as a good person. Obviously, because in the books, there's something that makes him better. But in this whole film, he's just kind of an asshole.
Yeah, he's running the farm for roughly 20 years. Like roughly 20 years later.
Yeah, it's a bustling farm. He's
so
very
productive.
Rich now.
Well, he's rich, but he's not rich with friends. because everyone at the farm hates him.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true, because it's all these, like, minority workers that he's treating real bad. This is the undertone that I like in this movie, is there's this subplot of, like, racial minorities getting fair treatment, finally.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a fantastic plot point, which was a very cool plot, which I guess is why this book's, like, a real good book.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not really touched on enough, I feel, and it's really sad that it is touched on a bit. I'm just saying it wasn't touched on enough.
Yeah,
and
fair.
I think it should have been even more of a plot point, because I really liked that part of the movie.
Yeah, because that is something that happened, and that is, like, what inspired the book, but I think maybe if it was more focused on that rather than, it's a family, look at their issues.
Yeah.
It could have been a better film. I don't know.
Yeah, oh well.
So Jeremy Irons, he goes back to stay with his sister for a little bit.
Yeah, just
because
to visit them.
The parent has died. And he's like, well, I should probably go to the funeral.
Yeah, and the sister's like, Mom's died, I'm finally free to do stuff.
Yep.
Hey, can I come live with you? And he's like, nah.
Nah, you can't live with me. But then at the funeral, he sees none other than Clara, and he's like, huh. Maybe I'll marry Clara.
Yeah, no, it's real weird the way he says it. Because there's a little thing. I didn't write down the quote. I should have. But it's like, if I can't have the first daughter, I should have the second or something
like exactly
that.
That's exactly what he says.
It's literally on those lines, and it's real creepy.
It's like, ooh, like that's how they did things, but... No.
And the whole marriage situation is real weird, because it's like an arranged marriage sort of thing.
Yeah.
To get the money and power stuff, which... not great anymore these days, but a lot more common back then.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Although, it is set in the 40s. They were doing that in the 40s.
Yeah, again, and that's, I think, a point with this movie, is this movie's, like, an old-fashioned movie for the time it came out.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, featuring this old-fashioned thing. The movie is trying to point out that they're old-fashioned and we should move forward.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's just a little bit, like, whoa, these were a thing back then.
Yeah.
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So he goes over, he talks to Clara, now played by Meryl Streep in Young Makeup, and is like, how's it going? And she talks! She opens her mouth for the first time in 20 years.
She's like, hey fam, how's it playing? And her family's like, whoa, she talked!
Whoa, what happens? She talked to this guy, guess that means he's gonna marry her.
Yep, guess that's a marriage done. Bam, marry them off.
Before they get married, she meets up with Glenn Close and is like, hey, why don't you come live with us?
Yeah, we'll be the best of friends because I see it in our future.
Yep.
And the sister's real happy. She's like, yay, I get a family to be with.
So they all get married. They move to the ranch.
Send them to the ranch.
And because Clara's now talking again, her powers are becoming more and more prominent.
Yes.
There's a point where, like, she moves a table.
Yeah, no, she... obviously, her powers have been there. She's just not using them as much, or we don't focus on them. And then there's more of this focus on her powers. She's moving things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the sister's being all creepy.
Yeah.
There's this whole subplot where the sister's, like, got a crush on her, but she's not doing anything.
No.
She's just got this crush. And the guy knows that she has this.
Oh, yeah.
But she's not being... she's not doing anything horrible. She's just being a creep. That's a bad plot as well.
Yeah, it comes back a little bit later.
Yeah, anyway. So then main lady, she gets pregnant.
Yep.
With a baby. Woo, baby time.
And she's like, oh, I wish my parents could come over and I could tell them the good news.
Yep. So the parents come to visit. They're taking car over. And there's this... this whole scene's just insane.
I love this scene.
It's
the scene so much.
It's crazy. So she gets a vision of them driving there.
Yeah.
And her dad drives too fast and too crazily or some crap.
Mm.
And the brakes don't work all of a sudden. And there's a train. And there's a huge crash where the train crashes into them. And there's a giant explosion where blood
giant
goes
explosion.
Everywhere.
Limbs flying all over the place.
It's like, why is this so graphic? What is this... It's insane.
It comes out of nowhere. So far, this has been like a small, you know, we're a family living in the olden times and we're doing old stuff.
And then there's this explosion, limbs are flying, blood's everywhere.
Yeah.
The lady's head goes flying.
Yeah, her mum's head goes flying. And then we get an entire scene where the police, I guess, come over to inform the family that the parents have died. and they're like, we can't do an open casket funeral. There's no head.
Yeah, we can't find the head.
And she's like,
real bummer.
I've got psychic powers. And she uses her powers to find the head.
You find the head of her mum. And it's like, what is going on? Why is this a plot point in the film? Why is this in?
I really enjoyed it. It was like a really just stupid moment.
It was so random.
I wonder if it's in the book.
No, it's definitely in the book. It's just probably got more context in the book or something.
Maybe there's a thing in the book where there's just like a lot of this sort of thing. And because this is the only one that really relates to any of the characters they kept in. Because if so, I want to read the book and just see like how...
Yeah, I really want to see the book and what things this film misses.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much random stuff thrown into this film with... has no reason for being there. This being one of the main ones that I can think of.
We cut to 5 years later. The baby is born. The baby's like roughly 5 years old. And they're at the table. They're having conversations. They're a nice family. Yep. They all get along. The dad and the daughter are best of friends. And then who comes knocking on the door? None other than the worker who he assaulted.
Yep.
She's there with her son.
The mom of this kid that they had, it's like, hey, can you give us some money or something? Because obviously you did this.
Yeah.
And he's like, sure, have some money, go away. I don't want to see you again.
Yeah. But the son, and he's like roughly 16, 17, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Probably younger, like 15 or something.
Yeah. He now knows where, you know, his biological dad lives. And so he sneaks over to their house later that evening, sneaks inside, and we got a real weird scene with him and
his half-sister.
Yeah,
and he creeps on her real hard, and it's a real uncomfortable scene.
It's very uncomfortable. He's like,
you smell good. And it's like, ooh, okay, alright. Cut, get out of this scene. And of course it ends, and he's like, runs away.
Yeah.
So yeah, real weird. Comes back later, because he's just a real weird bloke. But anyway.
We finally get a name for the kid who later grows up to become Winona Ryder. Her name's Blanca.
Ah.
And she's got a friend called Pedro who grows up to become Antonio Banderas.
Mm.
And they go swimming.
Wow. They changed his name and everything. That's crazy.
They lose the kids, though.
Yep.
Clara's back at home and it's like, I don't know where they are. I can't find them. And she can't use her powers to find them because they don't want to be found.
It's like one of the few moments where we get some explanation of how some of her powers work.
Yeah.
But nothing else throughout the film. It's just this one bit. It feels a bit contrived in this movie.
Yes.
You know what? It probably happened in the books, like there was something else that stressed that she can't find things that don't want to be found. And then later on this happened and they don't need to explain that, which would have been a better like way of doing things.
Yeah.
But it's a movie, so they cut that bit out.
Anyway. Maybe. That's the problem with adaptations.
Yeah, no.
That, it, like, it have feels to like follow a very, the book.
Yeah, it feels like a very adaptation sort of thing to happen.
I'm a fan of adaptations that change everything, because then it's its own story.
Yeah.
The new Pet Sematary changes so much about the original book, and that's why it's way better than the original adaptation, which is just the book, but not as good.
Yeah.
So, So anyway, they send their daughter off to
boarding school.
Boarding school. Yeah. She comes back from boarding school as Winona Ryder.
Quote.
Yeah, she comes back and then she meets up with her friend Pedro, now played by Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, they're having a secret meetup now because...
And they're like, finally, we are here, Oh, I thought I was going to die at that school.
Yeah, which isn't great. Yeah, no, very melodramatic, it's fine.
I guess if she's like 17, it makes sense. Yeah, no, that's you think when you're 17.
Look, when you're 17, dude, I've heard that from so many people.
Yeah.
Literally saying those words. So.
I thought I was going to die in school.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun quote.
Then we have some, like, political guys get the father involved with politics. They're like, hey, you're a powerful guy with a lot of money. You should get into politics. And he's like, nah, I don't want to. But then they're like, you should. And he's like, you know what? You've convinced me with the second line. So I'm going to get into politics.
And as soon as he does that, the workers are like, we need rights.
You know what? We didn't really actually have rights.
No, no.
We need some rights up in here.
Yeah.
Get those rights. Get those workers' unions up.
So Pedro... So Pedro confronts Jeremy Irons and he's like, hey, give us rights or we'll stop working. And he's like, nah, you're alright.
And then they're like, oh, okay.
So they're like...
Oh, bit of a bummer.
Ah, well, we'll try again later.
Yeah. Then there's like a earthquake.
Hmm.
And he's like, oh my gosh, I've got to check on my wife, make sure she's okay. Comes back and finds that the sister is like with the wife in bed. Not like sleeping together or anything. Just like comforting her.
Yeah.
And he gets all angry at this point. I'm kicking you out. Yeah. How dare you, girl? And she's like, no, please don't
do that. I curse you.
Yeah.
Which I wrote down because I thought it was going to become a plot point, but it didn't.
No, I'm sure in the books there's something like that. Where then, it's focused on how he gets more miserable after that. Yeah. But like, yeah.
So she's out. She's out.
And that upsets everybody else because they're like, oh, why did you kick her out? And he's like, I don't care. It's for our family, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it sort of turns into the relationship issues section of the film. It can be portrayed well, but like here it was pretty bland and it sort of dragged a bit.
It was meh.
Then Pedro...
Yep.
You know, he rallies the workers again.
Yeah, he starts up a big speech thing. He gets all the workers in. He's rallying the people. He's putting out this speech, this inspiring speech and stuff. He's like a real leader and all that. And
yeah.
It's like, whoa.
But his plans get stopped short and he gets a lashing.
Yeah.
And he gets thrown out.
No. I don't want to pay more money to the workers.
Mm.
So gives him a whipping.
And he's like, you're banished. Get out.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out. And Winona Ryder's like, no, now I gotta meet him in the forest.
Yeah. Then we have a scene where they're eating at the table. Yep. And the sister comes back. And I wrote down, I was like, oh, the sister's back?
The sister's back?
Oh, nope, she's dead.
Yep.
It's just a vision.
I can't remember how it was filmed, but it seemed like everyone at the table noticed.
Yes.
But then when you realize that she's a ghost, only Clara notices.
No, I got a different vibe.
Okay.
I think everybody noticed because of her powers or something. She was projecting the spirit into them.
Oh, maybe.
And then it suddenly disappeared and they're all like, what?
Mm.
And then she goes over to the sisters to find the dead body.
Yeah, and she's dead.
I did notice, which was just a thing that was out of the movie. I was like, hey... The lady who's playing the dead lady, I saw her breathe. And I was like, you silly Billy, I saw you breathe.
That's and then you were instantly just drawn out of the film.
Yeah, no, it's like...
That was your door moment.
Yeah. That was my door moment when I saw the corpse breathe. I was like, ha, the actor breathed playing a corpse. You idiot. That's not what you're supposed to do. Then we have another scene where Pedro's doing his thing. The dad comes and shoots at him, so he runs off.
Yeah, there's just this rising tension. The workers are, like, fed up, but he's like, I'm not paying you more. What are you talking about?
Then the wife is talking about it, and he talks about how he doesn't want the races to mix or something. It's something very racist.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like, well, you already mixed the races, didn't you? Because of the whole thing before, and he's like... What did you say? And hits her.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you're hitting me.
Yeah.
I'm never talking to you again.
Never talking to
and
you
he's like,
again.
No, wait. Yeah. So it's a pretty dark scene. It's a pretty heavy scene.
Immediately after that, Blanca sneaks out of home, goes up to meet up with Pedro, and he sees them, grabs his gun, runs down. I think by the time he arrives, Pedro's already escaped, though.
Gotten out of there, you know. Chase the gun and he has to run away.
Anyway, when they return home, Clara's like, we're leaving.
Yeah, we're out of here. Which is like, good on her.
Yeah.
Getting out of that awful relationship.
So they leave. The film then jumps forward maybe like four or 5 years.
And I have to say, at this point, they're doing a good job on the aging of the actors.
Definitely.
Because like, making them look younger was, like, a lot harder than making them look older, I feel.
Yeah.
And they do a really good job with the makeup and other stuff to make them look older and stuff. So it's pretty realistic after this point.
Yeah.
But before it was, like, a thing that took me out of the movie. Now it's, like, a thing that brought me back into the movie. You know? So, yeah.
Yeah. I think Pedro, he, like, throughout the five-ish year gap. He's still making trouble. He's still, you know, trying to rise up the workers.
And then the bastard son comes back and is like, hey, do you know where Pedro is? Mm. And he's like, no. Well, everyone does, except you.
Yep.
So how about I tell you, and you give me that reward money? And the dad's like, yeah, sure, I'll give you that reward money. Let's go shoot him. And they go over and try and shoot him, but he misses.
Yep.
Point blank.
Oh, yeah. It's another one of those situations where they sneak up, but have to say something before shooting them to alert them so that they can then escape.
Yeah, it's it was a classic, classic movie scene.
Classic trope. I think every film we've done that involves some sort of violence, we've seen it so far.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the classic action scene. Anyway, the daughter gets pregnant with Pedro's son.
Oh, yeah.
A daughter, sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he comes begging the wife for forgiveness, and he's like, hey, can you at least me hang around, see my granddaughter?
Yeah, and so they pretty much become a family again, except Clara's still not talking to him. She's using maids
I'm pretty down with her, because she doesn't talk to him ever again.
No, no.
She commits to this, and I can respect that.
Mm. I noticed that when the grandchild's born shortly after this, it's the same actress who played their kid.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty clever.
Yeah.
Pretty clever way of using the same actor. Because, you know, they're all related. They all look the same sort of thing.
That's
cool.
Sense. Yeah, pretty good.
Makes sense. I was all right with that. I thought it was a pretty clever way of doing it.
Yeah. They definitely have their issues. So
yeah.
Blanca very much disagrees with his conservative views, because he is now a politician.
Yeah. He's like the lead conservative politician. Like,
yeah.
He's super important. Speaking of which, there's like elections and stuff happening, you know, the government. But the conservatives lose.
They lose.
Bum-bum.
They do indeed lose. As soon as they lose.
Yeah.
His other son shows up and is like, Dad, I need money. I want to join the army. And he's like, son, I respect that you want to join the army.
Mm.
I'm a little annoyed that the conservatives lost. More people in the army, the better. Here's some money. Go join the army.
Yep.
I bet that's not going to come back to hurt him.
It certainly does. And then it's Christmas.
Yep.
The grandmother, spirit lady.
Yep.
She's dying.
She dies pretty much instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
She realizes that she's about to die. 5 minutes later, dies.
Yeah, no. It's pretty like, oh, she's...
Yeah. Cut to the funeral, which was well shot, but you picked up something.
Yeah, there's a weird thing where it's like the funeral goers, there's like this effect that turns them into generals.
Right.
So clearly they're not in dress uniform at the funeral or something, but they're all generals and they all know him, the main dad. They're like all friends of him or whatever. And they're all giving him the nod. That, you know, it's time for action.
Yeah.
It's time for a military coup. Which is what happened.
The military coup happens. The army rise up. They roll out. They're taking prisoners. They're burning the books.
Yeah.
The Conservative Party are like, when they completely take over the country, we'll back them.
Yeah.
They'll become our military.
Yeah.
And this is really interesting because... Chile, of course, pretty close to where the area around where my dad was born.
Yeah.
This is the reason why they came to Australia.
Huh.
Because of
there
this
you
sort
go.
Of stuff.
Fun fact.
And I was like, oh, like, how's that? Because the military occupation of Chile isn't something that people really talk about. So, like,
it's really interesting to learn about it. And it's like a key feature of this movie. It was like a big plot point. So it's a really interesting subject to sort of have a look at.
Yeah. The army, they go over to where Blanca is living.
Yeah, Blanca and Pedro are, like, hanging out. They're now, you know, like, meeting up.
Yeah.
You know, in secret. Because he's, like, the liberal, like, sort of revolutionist guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Who started this whole liberal movement. He's, like, the key leader and stuff. So the military are trying to look for him to, you know, ask him kindly to keel over and die.
Yeah.
Very kindly.
And, I mean, very kindly. Please, sir,
would you kindly just die so that our military coup can have no opposition?
Oh, sir, look.
You make a fair point.
You make a fair point. Usually I wouldn't.
But
because you ask so nicely...
But yeah, no. So they discover where he's hiding. There's this big chase scene.
Pedro is, like, running around the house, finds a good hiding spot, probably in like the basement, I think.
Yeah, yeah, hides in the basement.
Yeah.
The daughter goes up to the dad and says, "Hey, Pedro's hiding in the basement." Mm. And the dad's like,
"You what? I refuse to help him.
What are you doing?" And then the military comes in,
yeah,
and he's like, "What are you doing? I'm an important conservative party member.
And they're like,
I helped back the coup." Mm. And they're like, "Nah, stuff you, old man. We're taking your daughter.
We're taking your daughter because she's in leagues with the big guy."
And he's like, "I may have made a slight mistake trusting the army."
Yep. So she is being interrogated about where Pedro is. And the guy interrogating her is none other than the son.
Yeah, the son half-brother. Guy.
Half-brother dude. And so, he is a jerk.
Yeah, no, he like, tortures her and, like, real bad dude.
Yeah, so, terrible dude. Those scenes, though, shot, directed really well. They were...
Yeah, no, they were really, really well-directed scenes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's, like, real, like, whoa.
Yeah. There's a scene where she is in jail.
Yep.
She's locked up, and the lighting, in particular, was really well done.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. She was, like, lying down on the ground, really, like, battered and bruised up.
Yeah.
And there's a spotlight from the top of the prison shining down on her. Everything else is shrouded in darkness. The brother, and it's all in like one like wide shot.
Yeah.
The brother opens the door and is like, "You better tell me what's going on." It's shot really, really well. Then her mum comes in ghost form to give her the power.
"Yo, fam." Mm-hmm. Direct quote from the movie.
Pretty much.
And so she's like, "You know what? I won't keel over and die. I'll have some food." Which she does.
Yep. She gets the energy. Meanwhile, Jeremy Irons, and this is my main issue with the film, starting to become sympathetic.
Yes. He does like a redemption arc.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was moments in the book where he's had like redeeming moments. Like maybe with the workers. He's helping the workers or something. Maybe, you know, later on with the politician stuff, he's like fighting against these reforms that would cause a lot of harm to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these things which could be in there, but are not shown in the movie.
Yeah.
And this is his one redeeming moment, but that doesn't really make him a nice character in this movie.
It just kind of comes out of nowhere. It doesn't feel natural or realistic. He's just, all of a sudden, he's like, "Yeah, you know what? I feel for you, Pedro."
I feel it's a bit more natural because of the reason he's flipping the script in this situation is because his daughter's been captured and stuff, and he's realized that he's been a big jerk, but it's still unrealistic.
And he doesn't really care about his kids, though, which we've already seen at this point.
Oh,
so
he does care.
That was
like the main motivation for him coming over to his wife was like, "Hey, I want to see my grandkids and stuff," you know?
Anyway. So, yeah.
He helps Pedro. I think he smuggles him to Canada.
He does, yeah.
To get him out of this sort of situation and stuff.
Yeah, he smuggles him to Canada.
Yeah.
Which is nice of him. The army, they drop off Blanca in the middle of nowhere. She walks home.
Yeah, so the father pulls some old connections, gets her home.
Blanca comes back and is like, "Oh, you helped. You actually helped Pedro. That's really nice of you."
Yep. I finally forgive you as a parent figure.
You may now see my grandchild. Here is your grandson.
And then they go visit the farm.
Yep.
And they're like, "Hey, it's the farm."
It's the
start of the movie again where she's like bringing him. And he's like, "Oh, I miss my wife.
I'm going to reminisce," and the movie starts all over again.
Yep. And then it keeps repeating forever. No, but then he dies off and sees a vision of his wife, and that's sort of the end of the movie.
That is the end of the film, The House of the Spirits. That's what it is.
So there you go.
A pretty long film as well. It was about 2 hours.
Oh, it was a real long film. Yeah. I was surprised at how long this film was.
Yeah, what did you think?
Honestly, a bit long.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, as a film. Like, 2 hours is a long film, so you have to captivate me for, like, all of that film, otherwise I'm going to get bored. Unfortunately, didn't quite for me.
Okay.
There was a few bits that, like, got me into the film, and I don't think it's, like, a bad movie. It's just slightly below average.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It is a fairly average period drama.
Yeah.
There's not much that sets it apart. I guess maybe the cast. It's a surprisingly large cast.
Yeah, yeah. And I liked the actors, and I thought they did a really good job, and all the effects were pretty good. But I just felt it's an oldie for me.
Okay.
Very specifically because I feel it could be done better nowadays. Whenever I think of a movie and go, either an oldie but a goodie, I think of, could it be done better nowadays? And I feel like it could be done better by, as you said, like, changing the movie up to make it a better movie rather than trying to flimsily follow the story.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah.
I think maybe even a mini-series would be good. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
To do everything.
Just get everything in. Well, that's the problem with books to movies.
Yeah.
It's never quite going to be the same, and you just have to try and figure out the nice balance of having it the same as the book, and also different so it's good as a standalone movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I do agree. I'm always kind of weird with period dramas. Either they capture me right from the start and I'm on board for the whole thing, or I just get bored and can't be bothered. So this is somewhere in the middle of that.
That's fair. That's fair. I feel like it's not an awful film, and it's sad that I feel like I'm probably going to give it an oldie just because it could have been a lot better.
Yeah, it definitely could have been better.
There was a whole lot of things, and I feel like it was good in places. It's not quite for me. It's also like an old movie that feels like it was old back when it was released.
It definitely tried to go back to the style of filmmaking from the 60s.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the point. They went for that vibe.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's good. The problem is, on top of that, they have it being an old movie nowadays for us. And that combined with it also trying to be an old movie just sort of stacks up, and it doesn't help it, unfortunately, which is unlucky for it. Also, you're right, I did like the period piece on like the whole war and coup. At that point, the movie really picked up for me.
Definitely.
I was like, I got real interested. I'm like, oh crap, there's a military coup going on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm back in.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it an oldie.
It's like the high end of an oldie for me, I think.
That's fair.
I do have to go for an oldie with this one as well.
This is a shame.
It is a shame. I wasn't expecting that much from it, though. I'm not necessarily disappointed. I'm just like, I'm glad that I watched it. Like,
yeah.
I think it's the first oldie that we've done so far that I'm glad that I watched.
Yeah.
Whereas all the others are just nothing movies
that
have nothing I want to go back to. Aside from maybe Cabin Boy. Like, that was just like a
because that was just that was like, they were having drugs when they were making that film, which is great. I don't know. With this film, specifically for me, I'm just like, it's just another oldie for me.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Which means that brings us to the end of this episode. If you have seen The House of the Spirits, maybe if you had to read the book for school,
please
get in touch with us. I want to know what the book's like.
Yeah, leave a comment. Like, if you've seen the movie and read the book, tell us what we missed. Or, like, just listening to this podcast, anything we missed that was in the books that was, like, super important or, like, made a point of all these things. Like, how's the dad in the books? Is he all right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So, yeah.
Is he actually redeemed? We'll see. Yeah.
Leave us a comment on our YouTubes, on our iTunes, on our Spotify's, on our SoundClouds, except do we do that?
We don't have a SoundCloud.
Damn it.
And YouTube is messing up and won't let me publish stuff. I'll sort that out.
Yeah, no, you sort that out. But yeah.
But yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us. The email address is oldiebutagoodiepod@gmail.com. Just copy and paste what's written in the episode description. The Facebook page is there as well. You can message us there, or you can message us both on Instagram. We'll both try and read it. I don't check my messages that often.
Yeah, not on Instagram. That's a weird place to look for images.
Yeah.
Messages. But
messages. If you get in contact with us on Facebook,
get
back to you. If you like the show, tell a friend. That helps out.
Yep.
We're slowly expanding. It's great. It's funny that 70% of our audience is from America. It's good.
Hey, well, Americans love the podcasts, and I can't blame them. Good as this one. Wink.
We are mainly doing American films as well.
That's true.
Which
true.
Some friends have brought up. They're like, why don't you do some foreign films? It's more like if we were going to go to your average everyday cinema every week in 94 and we're paste with the new releases.
Yeah.
These are the ones you'd see.
Yeah, these are the ones we'd see. We might check out some foreign films.
Well, technically this is a foreign film, the one that
we did.
That's the director and the authors and everything aren't American. So, yeah.
So there you go.
Next week, Zach, it's your choice.
All right, what do we got?
You got four choices.
Yep.
And they are all over the place.
Okay.
First choice for next episode is Cops and Robbersons.
What?
Cops and Robbersons.
Is that really what it's called?
It's what it's called.
That is the worst.
It's about Chevy Chase. He's a police officer, and he needs to find a crime boss whose last name might be Robbersons.
Is that really? That's so bad.
Your other choice. Surviving the Game.
What?
Rapper Ice-T is a poor man. He's a poor man.
We're done.
He gets in touch with some hunters who are like, come stay in this woods for a night and we'll pay you a lot.
Okay.
And then he does, and then people go and hunt him. Choice number two.
I like Ice-T.
The drink.
I just like Ice-T.
Yeah,
throwing that out there. No, but I like him in family movies. Because he's actually rather funny.
Choice number three, Serial Mum.
What? What is that?
It's about a mum who's also a serial killer.
What?
But everyone thinks she's just an everyday mum. It's directed by John Waters.
That sounds amazing.
And your fourth choice, White Fang 2, Myth of the White Wolf.
What? That's the whole name? Is that another sequel?
It's a Disney movie about a kid and his dog. Another, yes, you're right. Another Disney movie from 1994 about a kid and his dog.
I want to see Serial Mom because that is most definitely sounds like an amazing thing.
Cool. So let's go watch it and then immediately record an episode.
Woohoo.
We're going to do that. We do always end with our favorite quotes from the film we just saw.
You smell good.
Oh, it's creepy.
Yeah,
out of context, kind of funny. But I thought we were all gonna die at this school.
Alright. We'll catch you later.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.